So I'm happy to announce that I'm now offering the Marketing Magic Workshop, which is an in-person half-day workshop, very hands-on, with a maximum of 5 people. So just go to my website, playcentric.com/workshop, to get on the wait list. And when we speak, mention that you've heard about this on the podcast and you'll get 10% off.
I am Christian Red. I am the chef owner here at Spargel Online, and we're looking forward to opening up very, very soon. Just waiting on our liquor license, and we are fully staffed and ready to go.
That's excellent. So tell me a bit about your background, how you got into the restaurant business. So
my culinary training started in 1984 in Germany. I did my apprenticeship there for 3 years, and then I worked in Italy and France and Switzerland. Had the chance to work at some very nice high-end places, Michelin star rated restaurants and top 10 restaurants of the country in Germany. Moved over here in, the first time I was over here was in 1991 to visit my sister, and she married a GI back in my city of Germany, in Erlangen. And I had plenty of time, so I found a position at the Albany Country Club. And the chef there was kind enough to hire this cocky 21-year-old cook. And over the past 30 years, we became great friends. And then I worked there for 4 years, went back to Germany. After my dad's passing, I came back to the States for good in 2000. Been here ever since.
That's great. So where have you been working in the meantime?
So the past 13 years, I worked for Cisco Foods. Before I went over to the dark side of sales, I was in a kitchen at Ben Patton's Golf Club in Clifton Park for 7 years. And I also worked at the Fort William Henry, and also at in Pumpernickel's in Bolton Landing for a little bit.
So this is your first time owning a restaurant?
Yes, it is the first restaurant that I own. But the vision of what we're trying to accomplish here and how we're going to run it, that's been clear since decades. That was always my dream. Mm-hmm. And to set everything up, that was a breeze, because I knew exactly what I was trying to accomplish and how we're going to go about it.
So tell me a bit about that vision.
So if I would ask you to spend 10 minutes of your life that you're never going to get back online to Google top 20 German restaurants, you will see that every menu would be copy and pasting. It is the only touch on a very, very small portion of what we do eat in Germany. And I was so fortunate to find this picture that you will see, or customers will see when they walk into the restaurant, to the left above the hostess station. It shows a map of Germany. But what I love about this picture was that it also shows that the country surrounding Germany. So from the south, you have Italy. So yes, we do eat pastas and risottos in Germany as well. You know, and then to the west, you have France. There's a lot of the Nouvelle Cuisine that came over, and from all the old chefs, the classic chefs, with all the 500 different ways to make a potato and all that, a little bit of finer cuisine. And then on the north, you have the Scandinavian countries. You could literally hit a golf ball from Germany to Denmark almost. And to the east, you have a little bit of Hungary and Austria coming in with their goulash and shashliks and their kind of cuisines. And further up, you got Poland coming in with the hearty cuisine of Europe. So over thousands and thousands of years, a lot of that food nestled within Germany. We are very stubborn people. That's the one cliche that's absolutely true about Germans. We are stubborn.
I'm part German heritage.
Okay. Maybe you can agree to that. I don't know.
And I lived in Europe for 20 years. So I do know some of the German aspects.
So we just do it our way. So, for example, in Italy, sometimes you will be served a salad after the meal. In Germany, we will serve a salad with the meal instead of a vegetable, for example. Mm-hmm. So those little differences that we make, and that also to stay true German without the gimmicks. That is where we
like that you see excel. At Oktoberfest.
Yes. So
that's the gimmicks.
Yeah. So we don't have, I seen it actually on TV once that this one German restaurant had a 2 meter bratwurst. It's like 6 foot of bratwurst. Whoever eats it gets a free t-shirt. That, none of this. So if people come in here and it's your birthday, nobody's going to do the chicken dance. Nobody's going to run around.
Get the chicken dance thing at Oktoberfest.
So I want to stay true to, I want to give the customer the experience as they would be walking into a restaurant in Germany.
In Germany itself, yeah.
But not in a tourist trap area. So There's no dirndls. There's no lederhosen. There's no humba humba music playing. There's no any of this going on. This is not what we do here. Our experience that the customer should hopefully get away with, get a completely different view of what actually is German cuisine. Yes, we have the classics. We have the sauerbraten, and we have the roast pork, and we have the roulade, and we have some goulash, and we have all of those. But then there's a whole different type of the German cooking that nobody really touches. I don't know why. To my research, when I ever looked at all those menus, that nobody really, either they don't know or they, I don't know why, but there's so much more, and this is where we're kicking in.
That's exciting to be bringing that here.
I can only hope that my community will embrace it as much as we do.
Yeah. Are you bringing a following from other places that you've been that to get started?
Not really. The News Channel 10 a while ago, they did this little piece online, and that generated phenomenal feedback.
Yeah, they have been good at getting
We had 2,500 views, 600-700 comments and shares. I mean, people seem very excited to come here, and that it's a great buzz, and the phone keeps ringing, and people showing up. We just got the sign on last week, and people started coming in and asking, and want to make reservations. The buzz is phenomenal around this concept, and If half of the people show up, we're in trouble.
That's good trouble to have, right? Get the buzz going, keep it going.
I was very fortunate. We hired phenomenal people.
That's great, because that's an issue so many places are having. So you were able to get good staff.
Yes, I think we're gonna have a phenomenal staff together. I'm convinced of that. Especially when it comes to the wait staff, through my background with Cisco, I considered my wait staff to be my sales force. And my question always was, would I buy from that person? So on how to ask the questions, a lot of open-ended questions, how they were answered, I would say absolutely, everybody we hired, I would absolutely purchase from. And that's just outgoing and friendly. And
that's great.
I explained to every single member of the team that we are set up right now for 230 seats. We do not have to turn and burn the tables. You will never hear me say, drop this check. We need to get this table open. We don't have to do that. If we can serve, if we fill up the restaurant once a day, we have our hands full and then some with the level of service and food that we want to provide, but still keeping it within the community. So we know exactly who and where we are. We know that.
So people can really appreciate the food and appreciate the atmosphere.
Correct. Without being rushed out the door. Yeah. This is Queensbury. This is Glens Falls. This is Warren County. We are not Lake George. We are not Saratoga Springs.
Yeah, you're in between.
Yes.
So you've got a good mount. This is on, what's the address?
925 State Route 9.
Okay, so you're on Route 9. You're between Queensbury, sort of where the big intersection is, and before you get up to like the municipal building. So
yes,
it's a high traffic area, so hopefully that will also get attention.
Yes, we certainly hope so. And the type of German restaurant we are, there's none of them around. So so people might come from a little bit further just to experience that.
Yeah, I'm sure. And people come up here for day trips. And if they are looking and find that this is up here, they might make the effort to come here.
Yes. So we know what the building did before when it was the Outback. So
it was the Outback, and then it was 40 Oak.
Yes, for a couple of years. Yeah. But we know what the building can produce.
Yeah.
So we know the people are up here. It's just up to us now to figure out how we can tap into that potential. So by doing all those little quirky things that we do, I hope we separate ourselves.
Yeah.
From the pack, because we are surrounded by corporate places.
Yeah.
And we want to shine. We want to be the shining star away from the corporate places.
Yeah. See, hopefully that'll make you stand out. Because like you said, there are just so many chains. You got all the fast food. Mm-hmm. And then the other chains, there's not much else unique.
And they do a fantastic job. They're very, very busy. And they, but
it serves its purpose. And
yes, we want to be a little bit different.
But this is for people that are looking for something different.
Yes.
And to experience like real German cuisine. Mm-hmm. And do you have cuisines, like, because you discussed how there's the different countries around Europe that probably affect those parts of Germany that are near to there. Mm-hmm. Do you have sort of a sampling from the different parts of Germany, or would it be certain region, like the region you're from?
Not really. It's German the way we do it.
Yeah.
And from the region that we have seafood and I'm from the south. We're more on the lakes.
People may not realize that there's so many different landscapes around Germany. Oh,
so many. And also so many dialects. So if I would get somebody from the very, very tip of Hamburg trying to talk to somebody from the very, very south of Bavaria with the dialects, you probably need a translator to have those two get at it. No, it's a very different cuisine. In the south, everything is a little bit lighter. Because up north, when they go out to sea, they need to have more calories than from the years back. Yeah. Need to be a little more heartier. That's not what we do in the south. Mm-hmm. So, but we have from all over the place. We have some classic French potatoes that we incorporate in our menu. Mm-hmm. We have some Polish dishes that we incorporated. We have some Hungarian dishes that we incorporate. So there's something for the menu is written to hopefully have something for everybody.
Yeah.
And yes, there's filet mignon because we do eat beef in Germany as well. And there's a strip steak because we eat that as well. Mm-hmm. It's just done in a little bit different way.
Yeah. Okay, that's exciting. So what hours are you open?
Wednesday through Sunday to begin.
Okay.
Dinners only to begin.
Okay.
The dinner is by all means the driving engine of this restaurant. Once we can execute dinner consistently on the high level that we're after, then we look in either expanding the dinner hours to 6 days a week, and then we're rolling into lunch. And once we have dinner and lunch figured out, then we do some off-premise catering as well.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a really great idea.
Then there's a beautiful takeout area. We can have customers come in, just pick up the order stuff online, pick it up and leave. It's great.
That's great. So you're waiting on your liquor license.
That is the biggie, yes. I have 34 employees.
You're not going to open until then.
Yes, I have 34 employees in waiting on a phone call with the starting date.
So it could be any time.
It should be close. It should be close. It's just, I wish sometimes it would be something like if you would file your New York State taxes where you can see, okay, received and processed.
Yes.
Approved and shipped.
That's too bad. Yeah.
And there's just nothing like that. So we're a little bit in the limbo and not quite sure they will get to it as soon as they can. But that's what we're waiting on.
And you're going to be well prepared for when that day comes.
So there's about 10 days before we open up to the public once we get the liquor license.
Okay.
We will have two different types of soft openings. One is for the friends or family of the staff. Very small group just to make sure everybody knows where they have to stand and just to make sure everything is that. Then the following day, we invite 75 to 100 people to ask them to come between 5 and 7 o'clock to give everybody a true taste of what it's going to be.
What the dinner service is going
to
be like.
Yeah, so the hostesses have to seat and greet and the waitstaff have their numerous tables coming in. So to get a little bit in, the kitchen has to go through different types there. So it's going to be interesting. The following day, we would all meet. We go over the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if there was a lot of bad and ugly, we've got to repeat that. Mm-hmm. So we're not in a rush to open up to the public until we are really ready to go.
So it sounds like your experience, like you've got many years of experience in various places, is really you're bringing that all here because you're going to do this right.
Yes.
You're going to open up with the experience, with the knowledge of what's working and what's not working, so that people have a great experience when they get here.
Blackwood, that's the idea.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've got it.
There's a plan.
Got the formula for it.
Yes. Yes. It took a neighbor, one of my neighbors helped us with painting. Another one did some handiwork.
That's great.
It's just phenomenal who came on board and made this all happen.
Did you need to do much to transform it into what you wanted it to be?
It was a little bit too dark for my taste in here, and it had the colors of the national, the Australian colors, so that the yellow, the green, and the brown. Not necessarily what we were after, so we painted it white, lightened it up a little bit. We got some pictures. I have some pictures from my birth city of Erlangen, where I'm from, the skyline, and because the name of the place is Asparagus or Spargel, that's Asparagus.
Asparagus.
So we got a couple Asparagus pictures. Yeah. So finding the name was difficult. That was more difficult than I thought it would be.
Because you want something that's catchy and memorable, but that people can pronounce.
And it doesn't put me in the same bucket as Queensbury Brauhaus.
Yeah.
Then people just assume it's the same old German,
true. Yeah.
Which we are not trying to be. Mm-hmm.
That was a good idea then.
That was the thought process behind
so
it.
So is asparagus popular in Germany?
Germans go crazy over asparagus. But only in the first 3 weeks in June. That's the white asparagus season.
Okay. White asparagus.
White asparagus. Okay. It's very, where I'm from, and we are that middle in asparagus country. Mm-hmm. And if you don't try to give anybody asparagus in Germany in August, they look at you funny. Said, no, we don't eat that. That's only in June. But then they go crazy over it.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like Beaujolais Nouveau season.
Correct.
Right. Well, that's the only good season.
Yes.
And people are just waiting for it to come out.
Correct.
And it used to be the way with cider donuts, but now you can get cider donuts all year round. So that's kind of killed that whole phenomenon of getting your cider donuts.
Well, people look forward to that.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I guess a little bit Americanized more than I do the rest of the restaurant. It will be available year-round, the asparagus. We don't just do the two because we can't import it from Germany. So
it
comes from other countries in Peru and the white asparagus. But we have purple asparagus, green asparagus, and we try to do some nice dishes.
Yeah, I'm sure. So are there going to be other German touches? Like, I know you don't want it to be cliche German, but like, obviously you've brought in like the pictures. Is there anything else that you feel is important to have?
Yeah. So one is the beer. So
exactly. Yeah.
Breweries in Germany are extremely powerful entities. They either own the restaurants or the buildings, or they have contracts that last for decades on the building. So the proprietor can only use that brewery and all of its sub brands, basically. That's what it boils down to. I got a hold of a brewery outside of Munich. It's the oldest brewery in the world. They've been brewing beer since 1040. They got it figured out pretty well. We had somebody fly over and met with a distributor. They came up. We discussed what we're trying to achieve, and they actually imported four more flavors for us.
That's great.
Yeah, so they have other beers. They only had two flavors available. They brought in four more for us, and that's the only beer that I'm serving in here, plus the non-alcoholic version of that beer. So there's just true to the gym restaurant that it is.
And so that should attract in the beer fans, or because craft beer has become such a big thing here.
Yes.
This would be another aspect to what could draw people in here.
The fact that they've been brewing beer since 1040 is telling them. Yeah. They really know what they're doing. The quality of the beer is second to none. It is. We did a little bit of a beer tasting, and it was delicious. It was just a tasting, but it was delicious.
That's great.
And then the wine list also reflects our culinary list.
And what's the name of the brewery?
Weinstefana.
Weinstefana. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll have to learn a bit of German. I tried to learn once, but I had done French and Spanish. German was so different that it was harder for me to pick up easily. So
thank God I was born with it. It was easy for me.
Yes. Well, it's something I still would be interested in.
Okay.
So I think that's about it. Is there anything else you want to add?
You know, I don't know if you want to add this, but even our roast pork. So
yeah, maybe you could tell me a bit more about the menu.
In Germany, we use the pork collar, which is a little bit going from the pork butt south towards the neck more. Mm-hmm. And if in Italy, they would do like the coppa out of it, where you see that the meat and it's got the fat pockets going through it. And this is the meat we use for the roast porks. For the simple reason is when you roast the meat, mm-hmm. the fat inside melts, but it bastes it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you slice it, yes, you're still going to see some fat to go through, but it's roast pork. And I made it a point on my menu to say, listen, you're still going to see fat, mm-hmm. but this is what it is. We have a Stammtisch, which is a community table for regulars. So the first 2-3 months, we keep it open for everybody until we establish, hopefully, regulars.
Yeah.
And the way that is set up is, let's say you would come in with your husband all the time, my wife and I, and some other people come in here all the time. Instead of yelling across the bar,
mm-hmm.
if you see us sitting at the Stammtisch, you just sit there.
Oh, okay.
That's your table. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you ate already or in the middle of eating.
Mm-hmm.
It's a communal table. You just
And is that there. Something that's common in Germany?
Very common.
Well, that's exciting, and yeah.
Anybody who sees the sign on the table, Stammtisch, mm-hmm. and you're not a regular, you wouldn't even sit there. You would actually be asked to get up because you don't belong. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the other things. And the other thing I brought over from Europe is if you see those tables are over here. So if you put them all together, the biggest party we can see in here is 24. But every day at 3:30, that's mandatory from the owner to the busboy to anybody in between it. Mm-hmm. We're having a family meal here.
Yeah.
Unless you have a very, very, very valid excuse not to be here, you have to be here.
Just if that's your shift that day or every time?
No, you're working.
Yeah, when you're
working. At 3:30, we're having a meal together, mm-hmm. everybody. So
before you have your dinner service starting.
Correct. The way I explained it to everybody was, yes, this is by all means my dream. This is a dream long coming. But Chris cannot do it by himself. I need a big team. Mm-hmm. So being in the kitchen long enough, there is sometimes a lot of pickering going on between the front of the house and the back of the house and this and this and this. And I won't even have this kind of environment started. I want to create an environment where people come in here actually wanting to work. Happy, friendly. Give you an example. I had a young 16-year-old busser. She applied, and when she seen the China in the plate, she, you know, I bussed before, but I'm afraid I'm gonna drop the plate. And I said, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's absolutely good. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to drop plates. Mm-hmm. That's good. You know what? I'm gonna overcook a steak. That's gonna happen too. Waitress, she's going to forget to put in the table. That's going to happen. That's all good.
Yeah.
We're humans, right? We make mistakes.
Yeah.
That's fine. Not to worry about that. But this is sort of the environment I'm after to create. Because this is such a rewarding business, but it has to be in a healthy environment.
Yeah.
It can be a very rewarding business, but it has to be in a healthy environment. And that's up to me to create. And that's what I'm after.
That sounds like it will work out really well with all those pieces put together.
I think I hired all the right pieces mm-hmm. from a secondhand chef in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
Front of the house manager, bar manager. I think we have a great, great team, and hope then the buy-in was great from when I interviewed and when we talked, and I'm just hoping that the community just embraces it as much as we do.
Yeah, because it'll be that kind of an atmosphere that people will want to.
Yes, and they will hopefully create longevity in the staff, so there's not a whole lot of turnover.
Good service, good food.
Yes.
That's
Well, the one thing I'm asking
Good
probably
beer.
not to put on the podcast, but what I'm trying to explain to them is what I hinted on earlier with not being Lake Georgia or Saratoga, where you get a small plate of pasta for $40. This is not what we do, but on the service end of things, the middle class blue collar people of this community, when they come in here, I want them treated like they just walked into 677 Prime. Those are your tables. You have eight waitresses managing the dining room. There's 30 seats per waitress. Those are your tables. You better treat them like they just walked into your house. This is what I'm trying to sell and explain to them. This is the experience the customer has to feel. If it doesn't feel that experience, then it's shame on you. But they have to feel like they just walked into. It used to be where people knew who the owner was when you walked in a restaurant. You don't get this anymore. So just to come out every now and then and say, hey, Mary, how's your kid? Or how's everything? Just to connect with the community. And I like that very much so.
And that will help set it apart from the other chain places around.
I'm hoping, but this is more genuine because I want to know who my customers are. I want to get to know them. Not that there's so much time. Hopefully, I don't have that much time to get to know them. Hopefully, be more busy in the kitchen because that's where I belong. But I still want to come out. I want to say hello and not do. No, it's not going to be the stiff 6 foot head on and nothing like that. But just get to know who's supporting me. I would like to know that who those people are.
That makes perfect sense. Okay. So that's probably it. Is there anything more about the menu you'd like to? I'm curious more about what foods are going to be on there.
It's a very healthy mixture between the classics, some comfort, and some high end. So we certain dishes where we this the red cabbage, which we're gonna make from scratch, all that we don't buy it in cans or any of that, is in the, comes out of a steam table on a plate. Where other ones we have to plate the vegetables very precise on a plate to make it look. We want to create some nice, vibrant, fresh dishes. The cooler space that I have is plentiful because it is a corporate place. We get deliveries so many times. I don't just hardly anything in the freezer besides some French fries and ice cream that we use. And I did this because when I was in the kitchen, sometimes I really said, oh, geez, you know, a nice roast pork would be nice or some roulade. And then other days, I'm like, you know, want to make something a little bit more elegant. So I was like, hey, it's my restaurant. I do whatever I want. So I put everything on that menu so people can choose from the classics to the elegance to. And if everything goes well, once we're up and running, we introduce more specials. Going to the holidays, maybe some prefix menus, three, four, five courses. If we feel like this is something our customers want, then we can do that.
'Cause you'll get the sense
I
of
have
it once you get going.
we hired plenty of talent for the kitchen, and I've been around long enough, so there's nothing that we can't execute and cook. It just has to fit. It just has to be warranted by the customer.
So, if you were interested in what you heard today and think that it might help you with your business and want to know how to find out more, go to playcentric.com. And while you're there, you can book an initial call with me. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you at least 3 ways that you can get more customers and increase sales to grow your business. And you might want to consider my new marketing strategy boot camp, which is a day-long session with me. So give me a day and we can transform your business. So don't forget, go to playcentric.com. And if you're not going to book a call, sign up for my mailing list and you'll find out when each podcast episode is coming out and get some other really helpful information.